This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits. One that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you, my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com, that's Organifi.com, and type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hi, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Most of us struggle to find happiness. Today we have Dr. Robin Miller with us, who will share the crucial link between health and happiness. You can't have one without the other, folks. Her latest book, Healed, reveals essential information for the mind and body. If you want to enjoy a better sex life, reach your optimal weight, and live a longer, healthier life, don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a board certified in internal medicine. She trained with Dr. Andrew Weil as an integrative medicine fellow at University of Arizona. She's a regular blogger for ShareCare.com, an interactive health and wellness website founded in conjunction with Dr. Mehmet Oz, where she serves as an executive advisory board member. She's also a medical reporter and a regular correspondent for the NBC affiliate in Southern Oregon. Welcome to the show, author of Healed, Health and Wellness for the 21st Century, Dr. Robin Miller. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's great. Jane, thanks for joining us. Now, your book shares so many different avenues for achieving good health and longevity. First, tell us, why are so many people just surviving but not thriving?
Well, I think that, you know, we've entered a phase, like from the early 90s, which I call a pill for every ill. So we started thinking that we had a pill for everything, and that's about when the medical system started paring down visits, so you only had 10 minutes with a patient. And so we, as physicians and providers, don't have a lot of time to talk to people and teach them how to actually be well and avoid disease. We've kind of fallen down on the preventive medicine side of things. And so I wrote this book because there's so many things that I have learned through my integrative medicine practice that can help people to be well and be free of disease and be accountable for their own health that we aren't talking about as physicians and providers in the office. And these are things that have scientific evidence behind them, and people need to know about them.
Right. I know there's 78 organs in the body, and in your book you share how three are the primary leaders when it comes to our health, the heart, the brain, and the gut. Share with us, why are they such a priority?
Well, obviously you can't live without them.
Right. I don't know if you can live with the other organs either, maybe a few of them. But,
clearly the heart is really important. And there is a new risk factor that I thought people really needed to know about.
Right.
It's called TMAO, trimethylamine oxide. So in the gut, when bacteria eat away at choline and carnitine, mm-hmm. so red meat, egg yolks, farm-raised fish, foods like that, something called TMAO is released, and TMAO is a good correlate to heart disease and stroke, better than cholesterol. So if you have elevated TMAO levels, the risk is pretty good that you're going to have a heart attack or a stroke. It's something that's super easy to test for. I think patients need to know about that. All mm-hmm. their doctors have to do is get a kit from the Cleveland Clinic. They take it to the lab. Cleveland Clinic will pay for the lab fee. The test itself costs $8. And most insurances will cover it. But otherwise, $8 isn't very much. And it's done fasting. If you have high TMAO levels, you need to cut out red meat, egg yolks, and foods like that. Or you can use grapeseed extract, extra virgin olive oil. And if you're going to have a steak, drink a Guinness stout with it because that reduces TMA levels.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. $8, folks. That's not much there. So hopefully nobody's saying, darn, I can't afford that. But you're going to buy that hamburger and beer, which costs more than that. So
exactly.
Priorities. Now, there's a lot of science showing how the gut, also referred to as the second brain, is a major factor, whether we're sick or whether we're healthy. What are some key factors to having a healthy gut? I know that's important in your book as well.
Yeah, so it's important to eat well, to eat plenty of prebiotics like onions, leeks, asparagus, foods that make it down to the colon relatively undigested and allow the good bacteria to eat it and grow and be healthy. Probiotics, which again you can get from food with sauerkraut, kimchi, you know, fermented foods. That's how you have healthy gut bacteria. Exercise also will help you to have healthy bacteria because it boosts butyrate-forming bacteria, which are really good for you. So, again, healthy eating, exercise, and then there's a gene called MTHFR. Are you familiar with it?
MTHFR? No.
MTHFR, and it is a gene that codes for how you process folic acid. So when you take folic acid in your diet, a series of enzymes work on it and turn it into L-methylfolate. L-methylfolate is the precursor to dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, all those things that make you feel good and give you energy. If you have one mutation on that gene, which 64% of Americans do, or two mutations, your levels are either down by 30% or even as much as 74%. If I give you L-methylfolate, you will feel better and probably have a better mood. But the interesting thing is that your gut is lined with brain cells, which is why they call it the second brain. So if I look at a gut cell and a brain cell on a microscope, I'm not going to be able to tell the difference. So if you give people with irritable bowel syndrome L-methylfolate, if they have that mutation, believe it or not, many of them get better. No more irritable bowel. So that's another important thing that I always check for. And actually in the book on page 181 is a cheat sheet of all the tests I recommend and how you ask for them from your doctor. Wow. Makes it super easy.
That's great. You know, you bring up such a good point as people are on all these antidepressants. They're sad. They're depressed. And not many people are linking that to the gut. And
I know.
Science shows that, you know, and it's funny because you can throw these science and these enzymes and these fancy names. And I love it. But most people go, what'd she say? But now if we just tell them, hey, if you're having a bad day or you get some bad news, where do you feel it? Your gut.
Absolutely.
You know, if you look on a high building and you're afraid of heights, where do you feel it? Your gut. Your gut controls your emotions. If you have decisions to make, what do they always say? Trust your gut. So the gut really has, like you said, that second brain. It's an interesting topic.
It is. Again, that's why it's so important to make sure it has adequate vitamins,
right.
Why you have adequate nutrition, and why you treat it well. Because you can really have serious problems. It's interesting when you look at experiments in mice, you can do fecal transplant on them, which is basically transferring the gut bacteria from one mouse to the other.
Right.
So they've done these experiments where they've taken a skinny, anxious mouse, painted poop on a fat mouse's legs, and it's easy to do a fecal transplant on a mouse because they love licking poop off their paws. And the fat mouse starts to thin out, but also becomes anxious. So gut bacteria is definitely connected to our behavior, our mood, our ability to fight disease, and to develop inflammatory diseases. So if you look at people with newly diagnosed rheumatoid arthritis, 75% of them have the same gut bacteria.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think a lot of listeners are saying, man, I've been kind of depressed and feeling unmotivated, but I have a friend who's always energetic. Maybe I can borrow a little bit of his poop. Hey, that's what friends are for.
Exactly. And that's where we're heading, actually.
Exactly.
There's a stool bank that, you know, they get the fecal matter from for stool transplants, fecal transplants on people with C. difficile colitis. And so we actually get the stool now from a lab that's based at MIT. And they screen very carefully for not just for disease, but for body mass index. So you're only going to get fecal transplant material from people with a low body mass index. And I went to this nutrition conference this last spring, and they talked about different donors having better immune boosters than others. So if you're going to get a fecal transplant, ask for the poop from donor B.
Donor B.
Donor B. Just so you know.
Yeah, and you said your friend's full of crap for all these years, and now you'll be happy because it's going to save your life, folks.
Especially if your friend is Donor B.
Donor B, that's funny. All right. Hey, you got A and B, so that would be number two. Oh, pun intended. That's great. Hey, I love something you say in your book. You say, if doctors listen closely, 99% of the time, patients will tell them what's wrong with them. And a lot of doctors today are too busy and try to diagnose and treat patients in the few minutes instead of exploring their lifestyle and diet. Such a good point. How can patients listening get their doctors to adopt that way of thinking?
Well, what they can do is, number one, find one that is of like mind. So when I did that fellowship with Andrew Weil, there were other people that came after me, and more and more doctors are starting to do the program. And if you go to his website at the University of Arizona Integrative Medicine, there's actually a tab you can go to, find an integrative physician in your area. So that would be number one. So you can look for somebody like me. The other thing is that you need to consolidate your complaints or your issues. So write a list. Keep it very short because most physicians don't like long lists. They'll freak out if you walk in with two pages.
Right.
Stuff. Consolidate it. Know what you want, and then be willing to listen to them to change. So, you know, a lot of people come in with their own story, and this story never changes. And sometimes the story's incorrect. It doesn't fit with science. So listen to them, and then be willing to change and be accountable for your health. Don't think someone's going to give you a pill to fix everything. It's not going to happen. Be willing to make changes. If you're overweight and you want to lose weight, and the doctor says, you know, let's start with getting rid of sugary sodas, you got to be willing to do that.
Right.
I'll never forget, I had a patient who had diabetes, and she goes, well, how can I get off my medicine? I said, you can stop eating donuts. And she went, well, I can't do that. I can't even think about that.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
You know, that person is beyond help at that point. She needs to change.
That's crazy. I love how you say, you know, find a doctor like you, and listeners will probably say, well, if I can't find a doctor like her because she sounds like somebody I'd want to go to, will she maybe give me some of her poop so I can transfer that into my doctor?
That's really funny.
Because you'd have a great business. I'll tell you what.
Wouldn't I?
You really would. You'd be shipping out samples all over town. Oh, that's great stuff. I want to ask you, so many doctors and scientists out there consider gluten to be public enemy number one and the reason why everybody's so sick. What's your opinion on the gluten scare?
Well, I think that some people definitely have, you know, celiac, so they have a true autoimmune problem with it. Many people are sensitive to gluten. Other people are fine with it. But they are finding that on the wheat, there is a small piece on there, on most wheat, that's inflammatory. So, you know, some people may not react to that. Some people may. So you just need to know if you're that person. There's actually a really great gene test that you can do on yourself called VitaGene. You can get it at VitaGene.com. It's cheap. And you can find out if you're one of those gluten intolerant people or if you have celiac. You can find out all kinds of stuff about how food affects you. It's a really cool website, a cool gene test. And I highly recommend people think about that if they're wondering about their food and how they metabolize it. So, you know, some people have problems with fat. They eat too much fat, they're going to gain weight. Other people, their problem is carbs. Most of us know which we are. Some people don't. This gene test will tell you who you are. Are you the person that gains weight with fat? Are you the person that gains weight with carbs? Are you the person that's sensitive to salt? Are you the person that has problem with wheat and lactose? I mean, all really a cool gene test.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, another thing is we talked about the gut is, you know, going back to that, trust your gut, folks. If you eat gluten and you have wheat and you feel lousy and you're foggy brained and you're nauseous, and it's not for you. If you eat it, you feel full and energized and you have that morning oatmeal and quinoa and you feel good, hey, a morning oatmeal and quinoa is for you. If not, you have a sensitivity. And it's like you said, I'm with you. I don't think 100% of everybody listening should stay away from wheat. It's just, I think, like you said, everybody's different, and that's a great test you recommend. That's such a good test that you recommend.
It's really cool. I highly recommend. I did it on myself. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's great. That's good. What about coffee? You know, there's so many studies out there saying it's the fountain of youth, the best thing to prevent disease, and then there's other studies showing it's not so healthy for the flora of the gut. Where do you stand on Java?
Well, you know, again, it's it's unique to the individual. Some of us metabolize coffee really well and metabolize it quickly, and we're fine with it. Slow metabolizers of coffee or caffeine may have a problem with it, and it actually may increase their risk for heart disease. So if you are the person that is good with coffee, if you metabolize it well and you like it, it's really good for us. It increases longevity by 20%. People with coffee who drink coffee live about 20% longer than those who don't. It right. does wake you up in the morning. It's clear. You focus better. It is reduces certain risks of cancers, like endometrial cancer, for example. There's really no downside if you're the person that metabolizes it normally or quickly. Of course, there are some cautionary things that you need to know. If you drink a 700-calorie mocha, whatever, that's not good. Coffee's not good with all that crap in it.
Uh-huh, true.
It can cause reflux, so if you're a person that gets reflux, you may want to back off on it. And if you drink French press coffee all the time, you may see your LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, go up because it holds the oils in there. Drip coffee's fine.
Interesting.
French press holds the oils in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it's kind of like listen to your body. And you know what's interesting is listen to your body, but then if you see your doctor, he should listen to you explaining it. Because I'll tell you, I do a 20-minute history, and I have pretty much right there figured out what's wrong with the person from the history. My exam doesn't need to be but 5 minutes. I've already kind of and I spend more time in my history than the exam for that reason. It really is about what causes it, you know, what eases it up, when did it develop, that kind of stuff. And so many doctors just don't do that.
I know, and I'm with you. It's all about the history. And as I get older and as I get more experienced, it's the social history that's really important to me more than anything else.
It is. That's
what sort of traumas they've had, you know, what their experiences have been. That's where I learn the most.
That's so true. I'm going to say a word now that's going to raise the heart rates and cause hyperventilating euphoria for our female listeners out there. Ready? Chocolate. Is it good for us or is it bad for us?
Oh, chocolate's great.
See, it even got you. I didn't think it was going to be you. I thought it would be the listeners. I'm like, oh, let me change my word. Every female.
Chocolate is good for us. You want the high-quality chocolate, at least 65%.
Okay.
It does help reduce heart disease. It improves blood flow to the brain. They've done research on seniors and given them 2 cups of dark, hot chocolate twice a day, or 1 cup twice a day. And they found that it improves blood flow to the brain in those that had decreased blood flow to begin with. There are precursors to serotonin, so it does maybe make us happy, or maybe it just makes us happy because it tastes so good. And interestingly, if you take a small square of dark chocolate and let it melt on your tongue, if you have a cough, it'll stop your cough for an hour. It totally works. I've done it myself. I got a bad cough last winter and tried it. I'm like, yeah, this definitely works.
Why don't they make cough drops with chocolate flavor? It's all this eucalyptus honey. I think we should go to business. Let's do this.
They should.
I'm telling you, we're going to go on Shark Tank. We'll give everybody this chocolate drop. They'll be like, hey, we're not going to squash you like the roaches you are. We're on board. That's great. You know, and chocolate has theobromine, which helps you actually lose weight, which is interesting because people associate chocolate with weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
But there's science out there that shows it can help you lose.
And that's why it suppresses the cough, because of the theobromine.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome stuff. Yeah, that's great. Now, what about, speaking of, you know, weight, what are, you know, the weight issues? I know there's so many fad diets on the market. Is there any particular you advocate? Are you pro-paleo, vegan, Mediterranean?
I like the Mediterranean-style diet. It has most evidence for heart health, brain health, total body health. I also don't believe that people can do well with diet. So for my patients, I just advocate they make changes in their lifestyle that they can do for life. And that's what they need to do. If you go on a diet and lose a lot of weight fast, you're almost guaranteed to gain it back. Every conference, every article I've ever read, 99% of people gain their weight back and then some.
Right.
So the key is to make small changes that resets the set point in your brain. Because if you gain weight over time, your body starts to like where you're at. It wants you to stay there. And so if you start losing weight, you'll start getting cravings. Your brain will cause you to have cravings so you can get back to where it thinks you need to be. So the key is to do weight loss slowly, no more than 1 pound a week, and be patient. And make changes that are going to stick with you for life. So I don't advocate for any diet except that I always recommend that people go with whole foods, more of a plant-based diet, or at least if they're going to have meat, that is lean meat, and that they restrict it to a couple times a week. So that's sort of where I go with that. And exercise is key. But it's really about your eating in terms of weight loss. It's not the exercise.
Yeah, it's interesting because you bring up a good point about it slowly, like the pound per week or so. And I had a patient who had been overweight for decades, and I got her on a similar type of diet, and she was losing a pound a week, a pound a week, and she says, I'm quitting. And I said, why? She says, I'm only losing a pound a week. I says, in a year, that's 52 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
How many pounds do you want to lose? She says, oh, I'd like to lose about 60. I said, so by this time next year, you're going to be exactly where you are. And she goes, oh, I didn't think about it that way. So everybody wants it so drastically. And you know, a lot of these diets give it, but you don't keep it. It's not permanent. And I think the way you just said is safer and more permanent. Permanent weight loss is the key, not just the latest fad diet. So that's
exactly.
Great stuff.
Do that's it. Great. It's going to work for you for life.
Exactly. Now, in your book, you have a section on the healing power of dancing. Share with us, how can dance benefit our health?
Well, there was this great study that showed that where they took senior citizens between the ages of 75 and 85, and they followed them for 5 years, and they looked to see who developed dementia and who didn't. So 124 people got dementia. So they went back to see what sort of activities the people had done that actually helped to reduce their risk of getting dementia. So they found that bicycling, golfing, running, swimming didn't decrease the risk at all. Reading frequently decreased the risk by 35% and crossword puzzles by 47%. But there was one activity that decreased the risk for Alzheimer's and dementia by 76%. And that exercise was ballroom dancing. If people were ballroom dancing 2 to 3 times a week, they reduced their risk of Alzheimer's by 76%. Nothing gives you that.
No.
Other than ballroom dancing. And so it's that partner dancing, it's that interaction between you and your partner that actually increases neural networks and strengthens your brain, as well as your body and your balance and your mood and all kinds of really wonderful things. And it's fun. And you don't think of it as exercise, but it is.
Yeah, and it aids in the number one organ that you listed, the heart. So it's like it's all around in there. And after hearing this about dance, all I have to say is, mama say, mama sa, mama kusa, mama say, mama sa, mama. All right, I'm dancing, folks. Come on, get out of your chairs, folks.
And the good thing is you don't have to be good at it. You just have to do it.
It's just doing it. It's moving. And, you know, with today, we're so stagnant. They say sitting is the new cigarette. So sitting for hours, and I'm guilty too. I'm sitting now talking to you, and before that, I was at my computer. And it's so important to just back away, get some movement, whether it's do a little dance or walk or something. Movement's the key, and I think we're lacking movement. And like you said, dancing, whether even if it's slow dancing, it's still movement.
It is, and it also helps in Parkinson's disease as well because it bypasses the part of the brain that's diseased. So Parkinson's patients can ballroom dance.
Wow, that's great.
They just have to do it.
Fantastic. In the minute we have left, what else would you like listeners to know about the new book, Healed?
Well, there is something in there about sex. Scream Cream.
Oh,
you alluded
hello.
To
that's
that.
Hey, that chocolate lit up some people. Now they heard the second word.
So it's Viagra Cream for women. You can get it at a compounding pharmacy with Viagra, aminophylline, and arginine. They dilate blood vessels. So you put a little on the clitoral area, you wait just like the men do, 30 to 45 minutes, and bingo, you're 16 again.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard so many females ask me, so why don't they have Viagra for females? And I guess now it's coming out.
We do, and it's a cream, and it's safe. You don't have to worry about the side effects that men do when they take it as a pill. It's great for women who've had breast cancer and don't have any hormones. It's great for women on antidepressants because sometimes their sensation is dulled. It actually is really quite amazing, and my patients love it.
Postmenopausal, it works?
Yes, definitely.
Great. All right, ladies, you heard it here. Chocolate and Viagra cream.
Call your local compounding pharmacy. They have it, believe me.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today, sharing such great information. You shared a magnitude of all types of topics. I'm sure you're going to help so many people. To get your copy of Healed, go to Amazon.com. You can also check out Dr. Miller's website at wellhealed.net. Be sure to check out her blogs, videos, and herbal database. And you can also follow her on Twitter at rmillermd. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share this podcast with friends, family, and coworkers so they can also learn how to get healed, live longer, and have a more productive life. You can also subscribe to our weekly podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.